from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. You might have thought parenting comes with a few universals. Sleepless nights, household mayhem, munchkin tantrums, meal after meal of chicken nuggets and plain pasta. My guest today, Pamela Druckerman, says not for the French. They've figured out a better way. Bedtime is bedtime. Kids eat what you eat. Adult time is sacred. And that's just the beginning of our world tour of child rearing today. This hour on Point, bringing up baby around the world. You can join the conversation. Do we Americans have it right when it comes to raising kids? Could there be a better way? Ways. You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We're going to look right around the world this hour, but we start with France. Pamela Druckerman is an American mom living in Paris, mother of three, former staff writer for The Wall Street Journal, author of Lust in Translation. Her new book out today is Bringing Up Bébé, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting. Pamela Druckerman, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
It's great to have you. So you've been out paying attention to American ways of child rearing and French ways of child rearing. Just to sort of leaven this right off the bat, I'm looking here at a review of your book in a British publication, the Daily Mail, the Mail Online. And they say, you know, wait a minute, you know, they're sort of peptic about everybody. They're looking at American kids, they say, that, as P.G. Wodehouse put it, the American kids are a vote for Herod. That's pretty tough. Put the babies to the sword. But on the other hand, they look at France and they say, you know, all these French are emigrating, their economy's failing, their cultural influence is waning, you know, backward. And the problem with their way, whatever it is that these kids grow up into French adults, say the British. But you look at them as
I don't know that that's represented of the British view, but
well, anyway, this reviewer in the Mail. But you say they're on to something. What are they? What's the difference between the French way of child rearing and the American?
Well, I should say at the start that, you know, I know it's, of course, all French people don't parent the same way, and just as all American people don't parent the same way. Mm-hmm. But there really are different sort of cultural ideals and standards that people, parents hold themselves to in each place, models that they compare themselves to. So I came to this realization kind of reluctantly, because French parenting isn't a sort of a thing the way French cheese is or French fashion is.
Yeah, the world doesn't
obsess
about
it. So it took me a while
to
just believe in my own observations, which is that in a lot of different realms, French parents have a very different experience. I mean, you mentioned bedtime and the fact that French parents, you know, expect, it's quite normal there for babies to sleep through the night at 2 or 3 months old. And that creates a whole different experience for the parents when
I
they don't
say.
Assume that the first, you know, 8, 9 months of your life as a parent are going to be this kind of sleepless muddle where you're, you know, you don't have time to take a shower and you're kind of, you don't really see your spouse much.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this book was a kind of detective work. I started with the results that I saw in France, you know, these children who were able to eat all kinds of foods. You know, they don't have kids' foods in France. There's just food. Everyone eats the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started with things like that. And then I tried to work backwards to figure out what French parents were doing differently.
Give us a little side by side. I mean, if you have to give us a sort of broad picture, we understand it's broad, not everybody fits, but your broad impression of American parenting and its consequences in the children, French parenting and its the way it's manifested in the kids.
I think a lot of things that Americans take for granted that are sort of natural behaviors in kids, like the fact that it's, you know, it's usually quite a bad experience to go with little kids to a restaurant, or you know, that kids don't have a lot of patience, that they're going to interrupt you a lot, that you have to be very involved in kind of involved with them at the playground, for example. Those are things that French parents don't believe, or that when you become a mother that, you know, you're going to kind of have to devote yourself. You're going to lose part of the woman part of you.
Mm-hmm.
Those assumptions just aren't there in France. I mean, if you look at a French playground, the kids are playing and the parents are sitting on the perimeter watching. And I think that's kind of a model for the way it is in a lot of realms in France. You know, the parents are very, you know, loving and attentive and interested in their kids, but they also think that both kids and adults need to have space and privacy. I mean, even babies need privacy to sort of develop their, cultivate their inner lives. You know, what French parents told me a lot is that they observe their kids when they're little. And I think that's, they don't interfere as much in the child's experience. But at the same time, I feel like there are some commonalities. And that's part of why I wrote about France, is I felt, I saw myself in French parents too. You know, they're very interested in their kids getting enough stimulation and reading to their kids and talking to them. But I think they just don't do it all the time. They're looking for more of a balance.
So they don't ignore them, but there's all this civility. I mean, the way you describe, you know, French childhood and the parenting and the family relations, it's almost dinner at Versailles all the time. Everybody's saying, you know, bonjour and eating everything and never, you know, an eyelash out of line. And is it really that tidy?
I think there's the Paris of postcards, and then there's the Paris that I live in and these families I interviewed live in, which is, you know, middle-class parents with, you know, kind of cramped apartments and, you know, two income families and trying to pay the bills every month. And it's not the Eiffel Tower. And, you know, it's not that, you know, the French kids are clamoring for vegetables, but French parents around food, it's really interesting because, you know, I tried to figure out why is it that there are no kids' foods in France? Why does everyone eat the same thing? And I realized that French parents do this tasting principle. They said they tell their kids, you don't have to eat everything. You just have to taste it. And, you know, as an American parent, I might insist that my child tries broccoli four or five times. And then if it doesn't work, I say, OK, well, he just doesn't like broccoli. That's
right,
the end of it.
Right, back to the chicken nuggets.
Right. But the French parents really approach this in a different way. They think that the flavors of foods are inherently all very interesting and that eating is one of the great pleasures of life. And it's their job as a parent to teach their child to appreciate these different flavors. So they would repropose the same food, you know, dozens of times, prepared different ways, but joyfully. This is not Versailles. This is not the court of Versailles. It's normal family life. They involve kids in the cooking a lot more, and they talk about food endlessly, about the different flavors of foods, to get kids excited about them. And I try all the theories in my book. I try out on my own sort of unsuspecting children, and I find that, you know, a lot of them really, things like tasting food really do work. You know, it's not that my kids are kind of clamoring for broccoli and spinach all the time, but they know how to eat them. And I think, you know, one big difference between America and France is that, you know, France had its own Dr. Spock, and her name is Françoise Dolto. She is a household word in France. Everyone's heard of her. I had never heard of her. She hasn't been translated into English. And her main idea is that babies are rational. You know, from the moment a child is born, he's rational, and even that he understands language. I mean, it's almost a mystical idea. And that means that you can teach, you know, the baby is very needy and very vulnerable and needs a lot of care and love, but he is a person. And that means you can teach him things when he's very young, including, for example, how to sleep through the night. So there are a lot of paradoxes, I would say, in French parenting. And, you know, one of them is that that some parts about it seem very strict, but other parts about it seem very respectful. And French parents talk all the time about listening to their kids and having complicity with children, and that you get your authority through this complicity, through this really understanding where your child is. And it's this... But I guess it comes down to, you know, listening carefully to your kids and understanding them, but knowing that that doesn't mean you have to do everything they say.
And laying down some really strict lines. I mean, you described the French looking over the fence, the parenting fence, in the other direction and seeing, let's say, American families and their kids as a kind of hellish chaos.
You know, I interviewed a French nanny. She's been working as a nanny in France for about 25 years, and she's had some American families that she's worked for. And she said, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I don't want to offend you, but I refuse to work for American families anymore.
Why? What is it that they see in our way, which we live with every day?
She says, and, you know, this is her critique of, you know, probably four or five families that she worked for, but she said her other nanny friends also won't work for American families anymore, that there's a lot more whining and crying and tantruming in the American families she worked for. And she said that the parents were not comfortable putting down limits and saying when, and basically saying no to their kids. I understand that. I mean, American parents have said to me, you know, I felt more guilty getting angry than I felt angry. I think we're ambivalent about putting down limits. We're worried about limiting our kids' free expression and creativity. And, you know, we're very worried about damaging our kids. And, you know, there's this kind of idea that's taken hold in American parenting in the last 20 or 30 years that children's, you know, mentally and in many ways physically fragile, and that we have to protect them and monitor their experience in school and, you know, shield them emotionally and give them a lot of praise. And the French view is, you know, from parents, what I observed is that, you know, they're supportive and they want their kids to do well, but they tend to give kids a lot more autonomy, but also, you know, they can say no
and
mean it,
and
you know,
they
do.
Alouette, gentille alouette, alouette, je te plumerai les ailes, je te plumerai les ailes, à les ailes, à les ailes, à le bec, à le bec, à la tête, à la tête, alouette, alouette.
Alouette, gentille alouette, alouette, je te plumerai,
alouette, gentille alouette, alouette, je te plumerai.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about bringing up baby and different ways of child rearing around the world, starting with the French. Pamela Druckerman is my guest. She joins us today from New York, but Paris is the home where she's been raising her own kids as an American in Paris. She's written about it in Bringing Up Bébé, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Pam, we get lots of response here online on Twitter. Kit writes, how refreshing, bring up baby with logic and good sense. As a 54-year-old parent of a very young child, I use logic to survive, Kit writes. Marion, of course, says she's French, lives in the U.S., 10 years, raising three kids. She's read some of what you're writing about this and finds it very excellent, funny, and true. But KW writes here, she's a new American mom. She encourages her one-year-old to self-soothe, not fussing over every fall. But at the same time, she writes, I think it is cruel to leave a child to cry alone in his or her crib. What about that difference? That's a pretty elemental early on one, Pamela.
It's interesting that she's talking about leaving a child to cry, because I think there's in America we have something that we call crying it out. Mm. Which is when when a child is 7 or 8 months old, or certainly more than 6 months old, you leave him to cry as long as it takes, mm-hmm, or you mm-hmm. do some sort of controlled crying so he goes to sleep. But the French don't do that. I mean, the French are very nervous about doing that too, the French parents I interviewed. What they say is they do something else that I call the pause, which is that which is waiting a little bit. It's when the baby is a couple weeks old. When he cries at night, you just don't run in and pick him up the second he cries. Mm-hmm. You watch and you wait. It's kind of attentive waiting. And you're waiting to see if the baby can learn to connect his sleep cycles, or if he's just making a lot of noise in his sleep, because newborns are very noisy sleepers, so that if you rushed in and picked him up, you'd be waking him up. So it's, you know, and if the child keeps crying after, you know, a couple of minutes, the parents I interviewed said they absolutely go in and pick them up and comfort them and give them what they need. But that they think it's the parent's job to teach a child how to sleep. And the way you do that is by this little pause. And if you do the pause early on, you don't have to resort to crying it out later.
Mm-hmm. A little pause each time. Give them a little experience, a little practice at that self-soothing. Let them build up that capacity. You write interestingly also about French authority with their kids and how somehow they establish a firmer discipline than Americans without being sort of loud or big about it, in your observation. How's that done?
Well, they focus on a few key areas, and one of them is teaching kids to say hello. That's
just
one of their
bonjour,
really
simple
strict
as that.
Words.
I mean, just
you must say, you know, there are four magic words in French: please and thank you, like us. But they mm-hmm. also have bonjour and au revoir, hello mm-hmm. and goodbye. Mm-hmm. And it's bonjour that French parents are, I mean, to the point of absurdity sometimes, you know, really insisting that their kids say hello to me when they come into my house. And part of it is to show that their kids are polite. But it's also, I mean, every French parent I spoke to said it's to humanize their kids. They said kids are naturally, you know, 2 or 3 years old, very selfish, very narcissistic, very much caught up in their own bubble. And that forcing them to acknowledge another person and greet them brings them out of the bubble. It makes them aware that there are other people with needs, too, and that that's a critical kind of understanding for the child to have. So they're strict about that. They're strict about bedtime. Mm-hmm. But what they do about bedtime is really interesting, too, is they say you have to stay in your room. But inside your room, you can do whatever you want. It's, again, this cocktail of freedom and mm-hmm. strictness.
Sleep or don't sleep, but you're in your room now. And pretty early on in the evening. Evening is sacred adult time, as you write it.
It is adult time. And French parents absolutely understand the risk and the temptation to have your life completely overrun by what the children need and to feel guilty about not spending time with them. They see all that there. But they think it's just not an acceptable way to live. They think it would just be too horrible to have, 2 hour good nights every night, or children who, wake up until they're 2 years old at night, or, to not have any time to themselves. They think that basically it's not that, French parents care only about themselves and American parents only care about their kids. The French idea is one of balance. French parents say, no one part of your life should, not being a parent, not being a spouse and not being a worker, should be able to overwhelm the rest. There should be some sort of
balance there, and not to live life in sweatpants covered in baby food. Right. Pamela Druckmann.
Well, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, well, stand by. We've got a lot of callers for you, and we're going to stretch this right on around the world in a moment as well. But let me get Allie here, calling from Avon, Connecticut. Allie, you're on the phone, on the air with Pamela.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was a nanny for 14 years here in America. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Midwest, and I was a nanny on the East Coast as well as California. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was doing it the French way, I don't know, but I honestly never had a problem with, especially the preschool age children. I think they just kind of learned my way, and they didn't really know there was another way. So the parents would often say, if it was bedtime, and I would, put the children to bed, give them a kiss, I love you, and that was it. They would go to sleep, or nap time, or we'd go grocery shopping, or we'd go out to dinner together, lunch together, and they were different children with me. Well, cut to now, I have a 4-year-old and all my magical nanny powers went right out the window. And I find myself right back in that same situation where I'm, what are we going to feed this child? She won't eat anything. She only eats peanut butter sandwiches. So we're kind of working through that. I have to keep reminding myself that I thought I was going to be a pro.
What do you think happened to those magical nanny powers? Who would want to lose those, Allie? What happened there?
I think that your kids know that you love them more than anything in the whole wide world. And your kids see you when you're tired and when you're grumpy and when you're wavering. And, you can't possibly you can't be consistent 100% of the time. And kids pick up on that. Now, as a nanny, I show up at 6 or 7 in the morning, and I head home around 6 or 7 at night. And they meet me, and they learn my rules, and they don't even know there could be a difference, As long as I stayed consistent, it made my job a lot easier because I had these wonderful children. Anything that happened, we all went on a cruise together. My boss had to work, and it was a cruise thing. And so some days I would have the little boy, and with my husband, actually. My husband came on the cruise. So we went to dinner, and he was such a gentleman. He was 4, and he sat in his chair, and all the waiters and waitresses were in love with him, and he would say, "Hi, how are you today? This is so delicious," and he would eat whatever we were eating, and then the next day, his mom and dad would take him to the same restaurant for breakfast, and they would say, "Oh, we need a high chair, we need chicken nuggets," and the waiters actually said, "Oh, no, master."
Allie, we've got the picture, and now you've got your own 4-year-old, and it's not so easy. Let us pick that up. I mean, Pamela Druckmann, one thing Allie points to here is that, she says your kids know that you love them more than anything in the whole wide world, and maybe that's the doorway that opens into all this demanding stuff and ends up kind of a mess. As a nanny, she had almost a more contractual relationship, even with the kids. Do the French have that full-on, full love embraces? Are we like too mushy in our love? Is that what makes American child rearing a little messier?
I think that in France, of course, they love their kids just as much. Of course they do.
But there are styles, aren't there?
But I think they think that one of the jobs of a parent is to, in addition to the love, there has to be, you have to teach your child frustration. You have to teach them about limits. And I think, you know, children are going to get angry when they're frustrated. They're going to tell you that they hate you. And I think French parents think that that's part of the process of being a parent. And they're not trying to, of course, they want their kids to be happy. All the French parents, you know, that I interviewed, that's their goal. But they think that their children can only be happy if they have these kind of coping skills. But it's interesting that the caller was talking about how, you know, that when she was the nanny, there was just one set of rules. Because I feel like it's a little bit that way in France. You know, they don't have this whole, you know, they don't have mommy wars. They don't have all these competing parenting styles. Everyone kind of more or less does the same thing. I mean, even in the daycare centers, in the parenting books, the parenting magazines, the experts I spoke to, they're all kind of circling around the same set of rules. And I feel like that alone makes parents a lot less stressed out. They don't have to worry that they've picked the wrong parenting philosophy or
right.
that they need to switch.
Right. I can imagine downsides to that. And maybe that will never be the American way with all of our diversity. Robbie in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie, you're on the air.
I was calling because I'm the mother of eight. Mm-hmm. And I am from a father that was from first-generation American. His mother was from France. And I'm amazed at what your guest is saying because I have raised my children pretty much, I guess, on the French method. We had limits. We had balance. We had bedtimes. I taught my children as opposed to letting them fight it out or whatever. I mean, we didn't have a lot of these struggles that I see parents having today. We used to take our children to eat in different restaurants, and all eight of them, or six of them usually is what it was, mm-hmm. 12 to 2 at many times, would sit there like perfect angels. They ate their food. We had conversation. They ate. The conversations were going on. I think the idea is that we're teachers of our children. We are not their soul, body, everything. And I think that's what happens in the United States. We pile on this guilt on.
But in your case, with the family event, you made it happen in this country. And that is interesting. Let us hold that thought, Robbie. I appreciate it. Get one more right here. Jane in Lexington, Massachusetts. Jane, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. So I am I'm a Chinese American mother of an 18-month-old and a 3-year-old. And so I'm in the thick of American style of parenting.
Uh-huh.
And there's no question, it is very trying. But there is a reason why we do it this way. And I just want to point out that France is a very interesting example because that is a society where, you know, you either pass a baccalaureate or you don't. There's very little social mobility in France relative to the U.S. And I think that here we really value this empowerment that we want our children to have. I mean, the truth is I want my children to listen to me, but I also teach them that they need to form their own opinion, that they decide what they believe and what they don't believe. And it is harder work for me to raise my children this way, but I think it's a value that I really care about. People I know who grew up in France or who went to summer camp in France, I mean, there are bullies. Kids are bullied, you know, and there's a lot more acceptance there for those types of things happening. Whereas here, yes, we are more protective, but we may be protecting some kids who really need that protection.
Jane, I appreciate that call. Let me pick it up with Pamela, if I may. What about it, Pamela? You know, the American wilder, woolier way is somehow necessary to the kind of creative kids, self-motivated kids we want to raise.
You know, I think there are a lot of great parts about American parenting that I want to pass on to my kids as well, that I'm really trying to instill in them, a creative thinking and an optimism and a risk-taking that I think are very valuable. But I don't think it's all or nothing. I don't think you have to pick, you know, I don't think you have to pick either the French way or the American way. You can really pick the best of both. And, you know, the French emphasis in school, at least in the early years, you know, my daughter's 6 years old now, and it's not so much on acquiring specific skills like reading. It's on learning to reason and learning to analyze. And, you know, my daughter actually cannot read yet. They don't teach kids to read until they're six or seven in France. But she, the other day in school, the teacher said she had to give a little presentation on justice, what justice means.
Wow.
So I and that made me very proud. I think they focus a lot on socializing and teaching kids cooperative skills. And so I think there's a certain, you know, later on in France, there's a certain rigidity in the educational system, which is not the focus of my book. I really look at what parents do, especially parents in their early years. But I think that it's really good to get, first of all, just get some perspective on what we do in America. And that's part of what I do in the book, but also to kind of, you know, pick and choose what you like from each place.
I want to roll our map out a little wider here, if I may. Pamela Druckerman, please stand by there in New York. With us right now from Urbana, Illinois, is Jennifer Lansford. She's a developmental psychologist, professor in the Center for Child and Family Policy at Duke University, lead investigator on the Parenting Across Cultures Project, studies mothers and fathers and children in 9 countries around the world: China, Colombia, Italy, Jordan, Kenya, Philippines, Sweden, Thailand, USA. Talk about a little taste of everything. Jennifer Lansford, thanks very much for being with us, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me on today.
So you're hearing Pamela describe what goes on in France. We're comparing it to the United States. But you've got 9 different angles on parenting. Is it very distinctive country by country, culture by culture? Are there as many parenting styles as there are cultures on this planet?
I think there are. There are, of course, some similarities across cultures and some differences as well. And one point that Pamela is making in the book that really resonates with me is that different cultures can learn from each other. And there's no perfect way of parenting. But I really like the idea that people in different cultures can learn from people in other cultures and what works in these different settings that we can apply to our own parenting.
France is not in your 9-nation lineup, but you go right around the country and the U.S. is in there. Is the United States very distinctive overall in its child rearing? Is it possible to say?
I think it is in some ways. I can give you a few examples of ways that the United States seems distinct. And I think it's not at any of the extremes, at least in the 9 countries in our sample. Sweden is one of the countries in our sample that is, I think, oftentimes held up as being an example of a very child-centered place. They tend to give children a lot of agency in Sweden and give children equal rights as adults in a way that's not as common in a lot of countries. The United States is probably somewhere in the middle of that.
Is the U.S. more indulgent than most others, than some others?
I think it's more indulgent than some others. There, at least in our sample, China and Jordan are places where parent-child relationships tend to be a bit more hierarchical, where there's more of an emphasis on filial piety and children respecting their parents in a way that we don't see quite as much in the United States. And so in terms of the kind of the continuum, I would say that Sweden is on one end, the United States is in the middle, and then China and Jordan probably at the other end in terms of this kind of equality between children and parents.
Jennifer Lansford, please stand by there in Urbana. Pamela Druckerman is with us as well. She cites a 2009 study saying that mothers in Ohio think caring for their children is less pleasant than mothers in at least one town in France. There's that aspect here. Behind us here, Working is the Most Honorable, Chinese kids singing. We'll come back and look at that culture and much more. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about bringing up baby and different ways of child rearing around the world. We've started with the French. We're moving right on around the planet. Pamela Druckerman is with us. Her new book is Bringing Up Bébé. She's been an American mother in France, watching the way it's done there. for some years now and bringing us that in her latest publication. Jennifer Lansford is with us. She's from Duke University, joins us from Urbana, Illinois today. She's lead investigator on the Parenting Across Cultures Project, a study of mothers and fathers and kids in 9 countries around the world. We've got all kinds of response online. It's really interesting here, Pamela, Jennifer. Erica says, I nannied in Europe and taught there. She was amazed that parents expect their kids to just walk all over town by age 12, and others saying maybe even earlier. Nikki writes, has the author, I guess that means you here, Pamela, seen how many French mothers smack their kids about the head? I have. Corporal punishment is still acceptable even in public. Also, kids get more autonomy because French parents are not as worried about crime. We'll ask you about that. And here's another saying, please tell us about the status of breastfeeding by French mothers. My understanding is that waking up at night by the infant and baby is to take nourishment. Maybe that keeps the parents up as well. Pam, what about that? The freedom around town, the corporal punishment maybe, and what about breastfeeding?
Well, I can start with breastfeeding. French mothers have the lowest rate of breastfeeding in Western Europe, and there's almost no kind of long-term breastfeeding.
Why?
After about 3 months. It's partly because French women go back to work. It's partly the history in France. And it's partly because French mothers don't think it's so critical to breastfeed. They have better health outcomes for their children than we do in pretty much every category, if you compare them. And they think they think that basically there's in places like America, there's a lot of social pressure to breastfeed, but that doesn't reflect the actual benefits of breastfeeding. They think their kids turn out fine.
You also write about other priorities here, like getting back into their skinny suits and getting on with the rest of life.
Yeah, I mean, they do think that it's harder to kind of get on with your life as a woman if you're breastfeeding. But I don't think breastfeeding has to do with sleeping through the night, because it's interesting. I read a lot of scientific studies on sleeping through the night out of America, including studies on breastfeeding women. And those studies recommend basically doing things the French way with the pause at night and giving kids a chance to learn. And in terms of corporal punishment, I think corporal punishment and spanking used to be more popular in France, but now pretty much all the French experts are against it, and popular opinion is against it in France. So I don't think in any way that's the sort of secret of French authority.
Jennifer Lansford, what about American families, parents, and their kids in terms of early childhood or infant intimacy and different patterns around the world? Do you see something distinctive in the way Americans do it or not?
I think I'll give an example of comparing American parents with Japanese parents. So there have been several studies comparing responsiveness of American parents to their infants and how American parents try to interact with their infants. And oftentimes those interactions for Americans involve mothers trying to get their infants to be oriented toward objects in the world. So if you see American mothers playing with their infants, they'll oftentimes show them toys or books or point out things in the external environment. Japanese mothers tend to interact with their infants in a different way, which is to orient the infants to themselves or to other people. And I think that's interesting because in terms of larger societal values, it's consistent with a Japanese focus on more interconnections and the importance of social groups. And that could be one reason that Japanese mothers tend to socialize their infants to orient to other people from a very early age, whereas American parents tend to emphasize independence more. And that could be one reason that when American mothers are playing with their infants, they're orienting them to the external environment rather than to themselves and to their relationship.
Boy, I've seen that firsthand. My second son was born in Tokyo. And to see, even in the hospital, there was breastfeeding, but it was group breastfeeding in a little kind of milking room where all the mothers fed all the infants at the same time, right next to another, you know, all that suckling going on very close at hand. You could see a kind of a group thing emerging right there. Let's go to Sarah in Buffalo, New York. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. What do you know?
Well, I have 2 little girls, 4 and 2.
Great.
And I find myself agreeing with so much of what Pamela's talking about. One thing, you know, I really think Americans pay too much attention to their children. Lots of people comment on how well-behaved my girls are, and that's because As you said before, although I don't ignore them, I don't play with them every second. And I think by doing that, you're also teaching an important life skill, and that's teaching them to play by themselves and learning, you know, fostering their imagination and their creativity. And by not paying so much attention to them, you're teaching them those life skills.
So don't get too much in their way. Give them a little more autonomy in that way as well. Jennifer, what about that, Americans versus others? We've got others here online saying, you know, Americans are so involved in their kids' lives now that, you know, you look at a T-ball, you know, little kid baseball game, and you've got 20 players and 15 coaches on the team.
Right.
What about the American engagement or involvement versus other cultures?
Yeah, I think there are benefits and drawbacks of that kind of involvement. It is true that sometimes American parents are too involved, I think, and sometimes, especially with very young children, that can be derailing for them. And one of the most important things for parents when they're interacting with infants or very young children is to be sensitive to their child's cues. So sometimes you'll see an American parent trying to be overly engaged with an infant, and it's actually distressing for the infant. You might see the infant fussing or crying or trying to turn away, break that eye contact. And that should be a signal to parents that it's time to back off and give the infant more space. And that can continue into childhood as well. I think there's a lot of value in this idea that children are able to engage with other children and entertain themselves. And, of course, that's not to say that parents shouldn't be involved. But I think there is value in this idea that Pamela is talking about in the French culture of giving children more space.
Pamela Druckerman, you described French playgrounds, as you say, with the parents sitting around the edge, none of them really engaged with the kids in the playground itself, whereas the American impulse is, you know, you may be right up there on the climbing bars with the kids. What about that difference, Pamela?
I had this other experience in that same park where I brought my daughter for a picnic, and I brought this big bag of toys to entertain her the whole day. And the French mother right next to me on the blanket next door had brought this one ball for her child to play with for the whole day. And I was engaged with my kid the whole time, thinking she needed to be stimulated. I had to entertain her. Whereas this French mom was talking to her friend while the daughter just played with this ball and stared at the sky. And I thought, how is she getting to have this experience? And my daughter was whining more, actually. So I think, you know, parenting, as you know, the parenting culture in each country is not a fixed thing. You know, as Jennifer points out, the culture of parenting changes, and it's changed tremendously in America in the last 20 or 30 years, partly in response to all these new scientific studies about cognitive development and how kids' brains work and ideas about attachment parenting that have kind of filtered into the culture. And I think we've taken this idea that you need to stimulate your child, which is, of course, a good thing, to an extreme in some cases, where we feel like, and I've felt like, I need to stimulate my child all the time. This French mother who read my book said to me, "I thought your book was very interesting, but what are flashcards? Can you please explain that to me?"
Well, surely French kids don't learn math by magic, though.
They learn it, but, you know, there are no pre-literacy courses or this kind of panic, kind of competitive parenting style where you feel like you have to rush to give your kid lots of skills early on.
I wondered about our social structure when it comes to that. I mean, we're learning more and more about a sort of a bifurcated social structure where people are very concerned to get their kids up the ladder because some of the middle rungs are missing and the bottom can be lower than ever. Do you think that's part of what's pushing Americans to sort of...
I think absolutely, yeah. I think the fact that there's much more of a social safety net in France makes people less panicked about their children's future. Although, you know, the French are also very cynical about what's going on in France, of course. But the fact that, you know, you really have to worry in America, is your child going to have health care? Are they going to have what you had? Makes the whole conversation about parenting a lot more panicked. And also this fear of that some of the callers have mentioned, a fear of crime, which, you know, is, you know, famously out of proportion to the actual risk of, you know, kidnapping or pedophilia. Yeah. Or all these things that American parents feel are sort of surrounding them. Mm-hmm. And I think in France, they're more just calm about it. They keep these things in proportion. And things like allergies, and they're just not so much a part of the conversation about parenting.
Let's go to Alex.
Calm is really what people talk about.
Calm. Let's go to Alex calm. In New Haven, Connecticut. Alex, you're on the air.
Hi. Sorry. I grew up in, well, spent part of my childhood in France, mm-hmm. and I'm half English and from a military family, okay. so how I was raised is a lot more akin to the French.
Okay.
But I had a few points where I sort of disagree as far as to how much the French listen to children. I think they have an attitude of more of, this is how it is, deal with it. And there's less catering to the kids, so this is why you don't have kids' meals and, you know, et cetera. And if the onus is on the child, if they want to be with the adults, they have to behave and, you know, act like an adult.
So you experienced some of that, Alex. Is that good or is that callous?
Well, I hate to say this, but I've inherited that attitude of, you know, children are meant to be seen and not heard. I don't like them in restaurants either. The French people are more formal and, you know, in sort of polite society, you know, they're meant to be seen and not heard. And
but is it a good
really
thing
well.
Overall, or are you the new Cruella de Vil coming out of that, Alex?
Well, I feel really bad because it's not as though I don't love my own. The French seem to love their own children. They just don't love children in general as far as having them around.
They're welcome as long as they kind of go the adult way, and we certainly get plenty of that in Pamela's description. Alex, I appreciate that. You lived it firsthand. One more, Derry, Pennsylvania. Lucy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. That was just so funny about the kids not being loved, maybe just their own kids. But, you know, dogs are accepted everywhere and not kids. And that's always, you know, kind of caught my eye and just a little strange. I'm Mexican uh-huh. and live in Western Pennsylvania, raising three girls. So I see and remember how I was raised and how I'm raising my daughters. And it's obviously very different.
In what way? In what way, Lucy?
Well, I just even saying hello, like she had mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. I was forced to say hello and kiss people, just like in France, but this is in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I never felt that I had to do that here, so I don't do that to my children, but yet I feed my kids what I was always fed and not, I don't have a menu, a set menu, but I go into people's homes and, well, we made this for the kids and this is for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just so, that's what I'm talking about. Like, just not the same for everyone all around. I also had exchange students from Europe and going back to these studies from around the world, I just find it very interesting how a lot of these exchange students find our high school studies so much a joke, and they're very bored. They find it very, 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 very easy. So I wonder and I worry about our studies. They do have the social net to be as a safety net that they have, and yet why don't we work harder in our high schools?
Lucy, that's a question that the whole country sort of looks at rankings as they come in globally and worries about that, I'm sure. And Jennifer Lansford, one thing I saw in your work that was interesting was you said you know, every country, every culture has a different way. Ultimately, kids end up more or less the same around the world. I mean, human beings are not so different. There are many paths to effective adulthoods. And not necessarily one, you know, much higher than another. Though, do you see patterns in child rearing that have consequences in national performance, Jennifer?
Sure, I think so. I think this idea that there are multiple ways to competence during adulthood is an important one. And any individual parenting behavior can either have the same or different effects across countries. So it's important for parents in all countries to make their kids feel loved and accepted. And there are different specific parenting behaviors that parents can do to convey that message. So in the United States, oftentimes parents are physically affectionate with their children or praise their children. And that's not so much the case in other countries. Other parents may do something more behavioral. There's an interesting example of a mother in India who is very, very painstakingly peeling an apple for her child. And the whole time, the mother wasn't saying anything, so wasn't praising the child, wasn't touching the child, but the child was kind of awaiting this apple with anticipation. And when you kind of dug down into why the mother was doing this, it was to convey to the child that she was special and valued, and the mother was doing this special thing for the child. And that message got conveyed in a different way in this different context. But the result is ultimately that parents can do these different things to make their children feel loved and accepted.
Pamela, what do you hope for in describing the French way for American readers and others? But are you suggesting a revolution in this country, a turnover in the way things happen, or
no,
just
I think
a little perspective?
Yeah, I think a little perspective. I think there's a kind of national soul searching going on. There's a dissatisfaction with the way that we're parenting.
Tiger moms or permissive or you name it.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, we feel like we're doing too much and we don't know how we got ourselves into this place of feeling that we have to be so constantly engaged with our kids. And right now we're casting around for an alternative. And that's why these parenting books are getting some attention, is because there's just we're looking for a different way. But I don't know that we found it yet.
Are you a French mom at this point, Pamela, or is it American first and last? Or can you put the two together?
I'd say my kids seem very well-behaved when they're in America, but very badly behaved by French standards.
Maybe that's a happy medium right there. Pamela Druckerman's new book is Bringing Up Bébé, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting. There's an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Pamela Druckerman, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
And Jennifer Lansford from Duke University, lead investigator with the Parenting Across Cultures Project. Jennifer, thank you so much for your insights and work.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Listeners, good luck. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.